Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek from St. Sarkis Church, along with our co-host, Mr. Veh Bazdigyan. Let us start our program in our day with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Church.
Աստված իմ, որ ցերկդ կփանաս եւ բոլոր արարածներդ կլիացնես քու ողորմությամբդ։ Ինքս ինքս քեզի կհանցնեմ։ Թուն հոգա եւ բادرաստե հոգիս։ Եվ մարմնիս բոլոր պետքերը այսօր վնե մինչև հավիդյան։ Եվ ողորմե քու արարածներուդ եւ ինձի բազմամեղիս։ Oh my Lord, generously satiate all creatures with your mercy. To you I commit myself. Take care of and provide for the needs of my body and soul from this time forth and forevermore. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, great sinner that I am.
We are fortunate today because we are joined by Bishop Anush Avantanelian, the Vicar General of the Armenian Prelacy, and Deacon Michael Gostanian, a new friend of the show. And we will be talking about a special topic today, the 20th anniversary of the passing of the greatest benefactor of St. Sarkis Church, Mrs. Susan Hagopian. Սրբազան հայր, Deacon Michael, աստված օգնական, and welcome to the podcast.
We are happy, Der Narek, for inviting us on this occasion.
Աստված օգնական, սրբազան հայր, օրհնեցեք Ձեր հայր. Thank you very much for having me today.
Welcome, welcome. Սրբազան, let's start with you. Could you tell us about Susan Hagopian? We know her as a benefactor, but you, as the pastor of this church, had the opportunity to know her personally and to work with her. Tell us, what was it like to work with her?
You don't mind if before answering your question, I make a proposal to Ve to make a reading from the life of a martyred bishop, Sımpat Saadetyan. Maybe the listeners will think that it's out of the context. Nevertheless, we know that this year is the year of the sanctification of our martyrs of 1915. And by the end of the reading, everybody will know why I make this suggestion.
Well, when the bishop says something, we have to obey. We have no choice.
I'm not in any position to argue with Bishop Anshava. I'm going to be reading about Bishop Sımpat Saadetyan. He was born in 1871. He graduated from the Theological Seminary of Armaş in 1910 and was ordained bishop in the Diocese of Garin. In 1915, Bishop Sımpat Saadetyan was exiled with his people and was martyred in Yerzinga, We have the following poignant account about the events of his martyrdom. The gendarmes brought them out of their hut, took them to the city of the dead, and advised the bishop to dig his own grave. Silent, uncomplaining, and filled with the ethereal grace of compliance, he carried out the terrible excavation, knelt on its edge, and prayed. Then he took a small stone, crossed himself, and threw it in the hole. The assassins attacked him, removed his clothes, and first severed one arm and then a leg. Then they slashed his lips, dug out his eyes, lit a match under his beard, and finally shot him in the breast. They threw him into the hole, the mutilated body of the priest from Armash, who was so enchanted by the love of Christ and strengthened by his faith. Before his martyrdom, this noble priest had also become a target to the beastly attacks of one of the guards.
Now the reason I asked where to make this reading, because Shushan Susan Arjemian Hagopian was privileged to be the niece of Bishop Sampatsa Adityan.
Oh, wow.
And the reason why she carried that name, because Bishop Saadetyan asked his sister, Banzali Arjemian, to name their baby in the name of St. Vartan's daughter, Shushan, a saintly wife and mother whose life is indeed a role model for all ages. That's how I wish to make this very brief introduction, and I hope you don't blame for my suggestion and don't think that I practice my authority as a bishop, but rather just as a servant of the Armenian Church who wished to bring to attention of our believers and the audience what does mean to be a saint.
That your reading was from the great loss of the Armenian clergy during the Armenian Genocide by Bishop Papken Charyan, and there was a presentation about this book, and a lot of people know this book, they have read this book, but it's very interesting when we make the connections. Like, we're observing the 20th anniversary for Susan Hagopian. We know her as a benefactor of the church, but here we read this text from the book, and there's a relationship between someone who was, I mean, the way that he was killed is horrible, so graphic. And here we have Denise, who was a thriving member of the Armenian church. And, you know, her legacy is a living legacy, certainly in this community.
Oh, without a doubt. If I could focus on that last piece that you mentioned, her legacy. And that is what is the strength of the Armenian people collectively, is the ability to recover from the annihilation, from the destruction, and to rise from the ashes like the phoenix. And Susan Hagopian is a shining example of that. And she really accomplished so much in her life, and she left so much to our church that really it's not even measurable the amount of impact she's left, both in her life and in her passing.
Serpazanar, would you mind answering our question now? Tell us about Shushan or Susan Hagopian.
Well, I came to know Susan Shushan back in 85 when I came to U.S. At prelacy. But gradually I came to know better when I was assigned preacher of St. Sakis Church back in Bayside. Of course, at that time the church was burned and we were in exile, even though a Christian church hosted us. At that time, Susan was on board, and we came to know each other better when I was assigned a pastor.
Was she part of the board of trustees?
She has been always, yes. Maybe it was an honorary title, but nevertheless, she was in different ways active. As I said, I came to know her better and better through her deeds. And I believe that she was a true believer who expressed her love in action. That's how I can characterize her. Giving, sharing was part of her I can say, not only character, but of her nature and essence. She was ready to help the Armenian community at large. I have different stories from New York down to Florida. Whenever there was a need, she always encouraged, at that time, late Archbishop Meskop Ashtian, the prelate, blessed be his memory. But of course, her heart was at St. Sarkis Church. And that's how, whenever there was a crisis, especially, at that time was the most critical time of our financial situation, she was always ready to open, along with her heart, her pocket, and always gave joyfully. That is the most characteristic of Susan.
As I said, I personally never knew Susan Hagopian, but when I came to this church and my first involvement was with the Saturday school, the name of the Saturday school was obviously Susan Hagopian, Shabbatoria Varjaran. And I think there are a lot of people who kind of identify Susan Hagopian with our Saturday school. Michael, you are a graduate of our Saturday school. Let's talk a little bit about the Saturday school experience and the work that Mrs. Hagopian did to keep and maintain our Saturday school. Tell us about what meant the Saturday school for you.
Well, the Saturday school was always, I may not have realized it at the time at that age, but it was always an important part of my life. It's something that I started attending the school, actually on the first day the school opened. Was one of the first students attending the school at 4 years old. So it has always been a part of my life. And while at the time, again, like I said, I may not have realized exactly how important it is or it was at the time, it's certainly something apparent to me now. It gave me so much insight to our culture and our language and our heritage, and a lot of the things that I do now I can attribute to the school, be it being able to read in Armenian on my own or when I serve here at St. Sarkis. As a hobby, I play music, Armenian music. And I'm often asked by people, they see I have a songbook, and it is all written out in Armenian. And often people are surprised. And I then ask me, oh, how did you learn that? And I say, well, we spoke Armenian in our home, and I went to St. Sarkis Saturday School. And despite the fact that it was only once a week, it was enough to lay the foundation for me to be able to have those skills and learn. I worked a few summers at Camp Hayastan. Two of those were as an Armenian school teacher, where I tried to take what I took from St. Sarkis School and, in a little way, even if it was just for the summers, give back to, some of our youth that were attending the camp from around the country. So it's always been a very important part of my life. And now I'm fortunate enough, my wife and I have two children, and we are the cycle is kind of continuing through them. They both attend St. Sarkis. And I have to say, we tried as much as we can to speak Armenian with our children at home. But like so many kids, we speak to them in Armenian. They understand. They answer us back in English. But I have to say that at least with my son, who's been attending for a few years now, I noticeably saw a difference when he started attending Armenian school. I could see him making an effort to answer back more in Armenian. And, part of that is, he's getting a little older so he can understand it. But at the same time, he's here every Saturday and he hears his teachers and his friends and everyone else speaking Armenian to him. And I think he gets it from there. He recognizes its importance a little more. So I could see him making more of an effort. And most recently, since school has started again last month, what he's asks me all the time is, myself and my wife, when are we going to go? I want to go to Hayastan. When can we go to Hayastan? And wow. Coincidentally, that started right when he went back to school this year. So I can't say that there's no tie-in there. So between the language and, again, the culture and the heritage, it absolutely instilled something important to me, and I could see it making a difference with my kids now.
It's interesting that you mentioned his question about Hayastan, because ironically, Hovsep also, who happened to be at classmates with Vahan, your son, he asked me, when are we going to go to Hayastan? And there's a fascination, it seems like, in that class about Hayastan, and that's very, very interesting.
It's great. He at least a couple of times a week, he asks me, you know, when are we going to go? Can we go there for vacation this year? Or, you know, and questions like that. So it's wonderful.
That's a terrific byproduct of being at the Saturday school, to be interested and engaged at that level, that they would actually consider going to Armenia as part of their experience.
Sure, and this is at only 7 years old. It's already making that kind of impression.
That is outstanding.
May I suggest something? Usually the daily schools, they started a good tradition that the graduates are sent to Armenia. How about Saturday school graduates? Since there is a great demand from the students.
Serpazan, you're very good with organizing trips. Probably you can help us organize a trip to Hayastan. That would be great.
Anushaman Serpazan actually organized my last trip to Hayastan, so I can attest for that.
There you go.
See, I remember, Michael, it's great to get the perspective from Michael's Armenian school experience, but since I've been a child, I've known Michael in the AYF, and of course, at church on the Choran, routinely, every time you come into church, it was always an expectation that Michael was going to be there, either holding a candle or the purvar. So I look at that perspective of Michael's Armenian experience.
Serpazan, how much Suzanne was involved in the Saturday school?
She was close to the school in different aspects. Whenever there was any activity, definitely she was there. From time to time on Saturdays, she joined us from the prayer, sometimes by the end. Always she encouraged the school, and I remember, I'm sure Michael also remembers, she always came with gifts, some cookies or other for the students, and she said, Hayasup, whatever is needed, please do it, because they are our future. And she believed what she said.
It's she invested in the right place, and you know, I'm proud of our Saturday school, and the number consistently is growing. You know,
I think she would be extremely proud right now.
Absolutely.
Seeing the roles and the impact that the school is having on these kids, it's truly a remarkable accomplishment.
She looked at all of us as students of the school. She looked at all of us as her own children.
How many students we have this year, by the way?
72 or 73 this year.
Wow. The number of the 72 disciples of Christ.
Definitely.
That's a symbolic number, yes.
Serpazan, how was the decision made to name our Saturday school after her name?
She was the major donor. That's why, with the consent of the Board of Trustees, as well as, I believe, the church parishioners, we thought that it was the least thing to do. And that's how we came to name after Hovsep and Susan Hovsep Hagopian. And I believe that whatever we did at that time was justified.
Absolutely. You know, again, the Saturday school became that place where not only our students learn about their culture, about their heritage, but also they learn about their religion. And something new that we started to implement was the family worship for the past 2 years. And this Saturday, we had a family worship. And it's fascinating to pray with our kids. And I gave them a little sermon this Saturday, and at the end of the sermon, somehow one of the kids raised their hand, and they had a question. Now, this is not something that we do in our churches. We just give a sermon and, you know, we stop there. But there were question and answer session that followed. And that shows how much our students are interested to learn about their faith and about their heritage. So,
and we can credit Suzanne Hagopian for those kids for being here, for being part of the family worship. So there is the impact that continues to be felt as a result of her contributions.
So this Sunday, We have a special observance of her 20th anniversary. Sirpazan Hayr, you're celebrating the Badarak. You will be delivering the sermon. Following Badarak, there will be a memorial gathering in the main hall of our church, which will be presided over by His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan. There is a program in which our Saturday school students are participating. Few people from our community will have their remarks, and there will be a memorial luncheon for the soul of our biggest benefactor, Suzan Hagopian. So I take this opportunity to invite all our listeners, all our parishioners, to try to make every effort to attend. Sirpazan, before we conclude this topic, would you like to give a message to our listeners?
Whatever I'm going to say, I have to repeat on Sunday too.
We'll take that.
Yeah, the only thing I would like to say is that as a Lebanese-American great poet, philosopher, artist, Khalil Gibran says, there are people who give when they are asked. There are people who give under pressure or sometimes threat. And there are people who give because they love to give. Like the trees, they give their fruits, the flowers, their fragrance, the sun, the light. In the same way, I believe, as I said in the beginning, giving and sharing was part of her nature. She always gave knowingly for what reason she was giving, gave joyfully because her heart was, as I said, in this community as well as at large. Therefore, what I commend to our listeners in the footsteps of course, par excellence, our Master, Lord Jesus Christ, as well as today's, we can say, hero or saint, whatever you like to say, let us give knowingly, joyfully, willingly, and that's how we'll keep forever fresh and green Susan's memory in this church.
It's the month of October. It's the cultural month for us Armenians, and we like to discuss topics that are related to our Armenian culture. And today, I will be speaking with an author, Frank Petizian, who wrote the book Aram Learns Armenian. Frank, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Father Narek. I appreciate you having me on your podcast.
Thank you. I love your book.
Thank you.
But before we start talking about your book, why don't you tell your listeners about yourself?
Yes, I was born in Montreal, Quebec, and I spent part of my childhood growing up there within a strong Armenian community. But out of family necessity, we moved to Toronto in 1975. Over there, I went to high school and then got a degree in engineering from McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario. And currently, I work for a company called Nazel Incorporated in Bolton, Ontario, and I teach part-time music at the Halton Peel Armenian Saturday School in Oakville, Ontario.
So your background is not an educator. You're not an educator, but yet you have a fantastic book that our children enjoy using it here in our Saturday school. Could you tell us about why? Why did you prepare this book? Tell us about the process. How did it start?
Sure. It's true that I don't have a background in teaching, but shortly after I graduated from university, I discovered that I had a passion for it. I loved teaching. I loved making kids inspired in terms of learning something. And I was tutoring a lot of kids in mathematics and physics and chemistry, and I just had just a real passion for it. But the Armenian portion came right after our children were born and they started growing up. We found it very difficult to maintain the Armenian language outside the home. And the more they went to school, the more they returned speaking English, and it was getting very frustrating. So my wife and I, we decided to take them to an Armenian Saturday school. And a fellow McMaster alumni named Christine or Mark Harian recommended us to come to their school in Oakville. And this school is called the Halton Peel Armenian Saturday School. And you could find more information about them at hpass.ca. Anyway, I got inspired by this amazing little school that could. Their motto was to learn Armenian in a very fun way, a fun approach. And what really touched me about them was that they welcomed, you know, everybody in open arms. Even if you only had a fraction of an Armenian background, you were welcome. So, you know, it didn't matter if you spoke Armenian or not. As long as you had that, you were welcome. So, like I said, I love teaching, and I decided to help these wonderful people. And in thinking how to help, I wondered how the non-speaking Armenians could learn. Because if you didn't know Armenian, and then you had these textbooks or books that, you know, didn't tell you what all these letters represented or what have you, it would be very difficult to do so. So, and there were many Armenians that did not know how to speak the language. So, the first thing I did was I carried out some research, and I discovered a book called My First Book of Armenian Words by Ani Gigarjian and Linda Avedikian. And I thought their approach to their book was excellent. It was wonderful. I loved how they transliterated the words in English. And it was easy to associate the Armenian letters to their respective sounds. So I decided to start by creating simple worksheets and follow the same approach as they did. And this snowballed into several worksheets, and then it turned into Aram Learns Armenian. And I used the motto of our school and tried to keep the book as fun as possible with a minor little story in the background and some interesting Armenian facts.
And it sounds like you succeeded in your mission. It's interesting that the title, Aram Learns Armenian, you know, Aram by default should know Armenian, but here we are trying to implement various methods just to make sure that our children are familiar with their own language and their own heritage.
Exactly. And the reason why I gave the title as Aram Learns Armenian, you bring up an excellent point that, you know, Aram should know Armenian, but there are many families with Armenian kids and Armenian names, that don't know how to read and write Armenian, don't know how to speak Armenian. And it's like in our society, it's becoming more and more difficult to maintain our language. You know, for example, when my son was born, all we spoke was Armenian, but as soon as he went to school, the English language dominated, and he started speaking less and less. And, you know, we tried to push him to speak Armenian, but it's getting harder and harder. So I wanted to show the kids that it's okay if you don't know, but make an effort to learn. You could be Armenian, not know, but you could still learn your language. And in the book, I also specify another kid. His name is John, who is not Armenian, but is also interested in learning Armenian because, you know, many people learn different languages for different reasons. And why not Armenian? And that's why we included a non-Armenian in the book to show the kids that, hey, Armenian is just as a cool language as any other language in the world.
That's right. So, Frank, how was your book received in the Armenian communities?
Well, I'm thankful to say that it's been well received. I've been approached by many parents thanking me for the approach. They say finally we can follow along and you know help our kids you know with their lessons. That's the main positive fact that the book is successful is because you can read along with it even if you don't know if you don't know Armenian. And an interesting side note is that I received a phone call from a professor His name is Dr. Robert Doherty from Florida, who's a linguist specialist. And he managed to get a hold of my book and congratulated me on the book, saying that this is the right approach in terms of learning a language. And I eventually met up with him, and he actually spoke a little Armenian with me, and he said, it's thanks to your book.
Excellent. I think one of the things that I found to be unique in your book, Frank, is the fact that the non-Armenian-speaking person will have no problem trying to learn and getting used to reading and speaking Armenian, which is a great thing. Before I let you go, we said that this is the cultural month for us Armenians, and your work has a lot to do with our Armenian culture, our Armenian heritage. I wanted to ask you, what is your message today to our listeners?
My message is simple. It's try to maintain part of your culture and heritage, even if only for a little bit. It's difficult for us to do this as we live here in Canada or the United States. We are part of this culture, and we must function within the rules and the language of the majority, okay? But having said that, we should never forget who we are as Armenians. And that is why I feel it's very important that we make an effort in retaining our language and our very rich culture.
And I think you're doing your part. And as a pastor in a church where we use your book for one of our classrooms, we are thankful for the work that you did. This book that I have in my hand says the second print edition. Are there going to be any new publications?
Yes, I'm currently working on a second volume and possibly a third as well. But right now, the second volume is going to focus on more alphabet games, and the third volume will focus on vocabulary. So the second volume is about 50% complete, and hopefully we'll have something out by next year.
Excellent. I wish you all the success. May God be with you. And thank you very much for taking the time to talk with our listeners. God bless, Frank.
Take care.
Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's gospel reading is from John 15, verses 11 through 16. And Deacon Michael, in his capacity as a deacon, will proclaim the Bible reading.
I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whenever you ask in my name, the Father will give you.
The word of the Lord. This passage comes to us from the Last Supper sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, we read that after the supper, Jesus spoke extensively with his disciples. And when we read the Bible, the heading for this part is the new commandment. Jesus gives a new commandment and he says, love one another as I have loved you. So basically, the main idea of our reading today, Sarpazanhair, I hope you agree with me, is the commandment of love. And Jesus gives us this new commandment to love one another. And this is something that we have spoken about so much, to a point that, you know, people think that Christianity is love and love is Christianity, and we somehow take it for granted without thinking about it deep enough, and without really realizing that loving one another the way that God loved us is what Jesus is asking us to do. And when we think about that, I think we realize what difficult the commandment of Jesus is to love one another, to a point that we are ready to give our lives for the sake of the beloved. I think this changes the understanding of love. What are your comments, Sir Bazanar?
It's very interesting. This morning I was listening to family radio. There is a program, Family Talk. And there they introduced a lady from South Africa whose son was burned. And then her husband also, in different way, was tortured and burned. And when they were in the court, this lady, whose word was the verdict, she said, "The only thing I would like to say that God has forgiven him and I forgive her too." It was a shock to hear this kind of story, but it is real. And in light of today's gospel reading, we see that how sometimes, because we say, well, after all, Jesus is God, and humanly speaking, it's not possible. But today's a story which comes from true life, and there are, I believe there are so many stories, and even in the beginning when we read the life of Bishop Sampatsa Adetyan, in the same way he prayed and asked forgiveness for those who were executing him, I believe that it's something doable. And what I love the most when I read the Bible, it's not only teaching we see. Jesus not only is giving teachings, but also he is living that teaching first, giving us the example that as much as he was God, but also he was a human, and therefore he tells us that humanly it's possible. And especially the last sentence is very interesting. "Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." So it means that let us not only rely on our energy, power, but also whenever we are faced by any challenge, let us think also to ask God's help. And that's how I believe that it will come true.
For me, going back to the theme of the day, when we talk about love, I look to the example of Suzanne Hagopian and the love that she showed for her community and for her church and for her school. So she put her words to work, and she followed the commandment of God to love each other as I have loved you, in her actions and with her contributions. So I like to just tie that together. Since we've been discussing the theme of Suzanne Hagopian, that's what speaks to me, because she emulated what the message is of this passage.
Michael, this is a reading that we read during Holy Thursday services at night. We take turns, the deacons and the clergy, to read this. What does this say to you?
It gives me, it's hope for me that when we look here, like Sir Pazan said, Jesus was not only the Son of God, but he was human as well, and showed us that sometimes we think that to be able to forgive and love unconditionally, it's too difficult in some situations. But Jesus, as a human being, also was able to do that. So it gives me something to look back on and say that it is possible, no matter how difficult the situation or trying the circumstance may be, you can still go ahead and follow in his example. The other piece of it that caught my eye is when he says, you are my friends, I no longer call you servants. And by saying that, he alleviates the perception that he puts his disciples on the same level as him in a way, and calls them his friends. You're no longer my servants. And that, I believe, is really opening his heart and himself up to his disciples as almost like brothers and friends.
And through the disciples, I believe that Jesus is inviting us to be his friends. And it's a great sense of comfort to know that our God and our Creator wants to establish a friendship. That gives a purpose to our lives as Christians, to know that he loves us, he is there for us, he gave his life for us, and now he wants us also to be our friend. And I don't think anything more beautiful our Creator could give to us other than this new dimension in the relationship. This is very powerful.
No, they're not. Actually, that's a good point in the new dimension of the New Testament that I take away. Generally, it doesn't necessarily speak to this passage in particular, but generally speaking, the fact that God expressed his love in such an abundant manner and through Christ's example really teaches us to love one another as he loved us. So it's a one-way, it's a two-way relationship between us and God, and also he's encouraging us to love each other. And to me, that's very powerful.
So going back to what Sarpazan said, to love someone unconditionally, probably it's not the easiest thing to do. To love someone the way that Jesus wants us to love certainly is not a picnic. But with his words, Jesus is encouraging us to ask God, and God will give us that strength to be able to love and to forgive and to accept the friendship that Jesus is offering us. Today's hymn is called Yeraneli Surp Arakelk. This is a fresh recording that comes to us from the Theological Seminary of the Armenian Catholicoset of Cilicia. It sounds like they are releasing a new Sharagan every week, and this is what they released last week, and we want to play it here on the podcast. It is called Yeraneli Surp Arakelk, performed by the seminarians of the Theological Seminary, where Anushavan Sarpazan and myself are graduates. I hope you will enjoy listening to this hymn. We will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I would like to remind you that there's a survey. I hope that you will take a few minutes. We're asking only 5 or 6 questions about the podcast. We value your feedback. Your opinion really matters. For those who initially tried to take the survey and they were having problems with Google Sign In, that problem is solved. You can just click on the link and take the survey and give us your honest feedback, because we're trying to improve the production and the quality of the podcast. I would like to thank all our listeners, our sponsors, Mr. Greg Doster for producing another great episode of the podcast. And I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will always be in your hearts. Amen.
Oh.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Saki's Church office at 718-224-2275.